involved and things get worse, and they come to you when they are ready for talaq, right? And this is too late. So usually you should seek nasiha from people with experience and knowledge to make things easy. And I always advise people against getting their family involved in their problems, right? Because let's say you have an issue with your husband or your wife, a disagreement. And if you report your husband or if you report your wife to your family, maybe the issue will be dissolved, everything, the situation is diffused, the problem is solved, but your family will always keep this in mind, right? So basically don't share all the information with your family. I remember there was this brother, and he came with his wife for talaq, right? And this brother said that, subhanAllah, every single day, his wife calls her mom back home every day, long distance, every single day, for an hour or two, to report everything. We woke up like 7 in the morning, he washed his face, he put on his own clothes, we had breakfast, he went to work. I don't know what he's doing at work, then he comes at 5, then she's giving a report every day. He's buying me this, he's not buying that. And the brother was like, khalas, he was fed up and he came for talaq. And he said, subhanAllah, her mother sits somewhere in Arab country, and she's calling her every day from Canada, and her other sister is calling from France, her other sister is calling from Australia, the other one from South Africa. Every single day they call their mom for like a daily report. And I told the brother, subhanAllah, and I asked the sister, and she said, yeah, I like to talk to my mother, what's wrong with that? So, subhanAllah, I feel like sitting with her family back home, and her mom is sitting and receiving the calls from Australia, France, South Africa, Canada. And, of course, she had this answer machine, you have reached your mom's. If you want to complain about your husband coming late from work, press 1. If he's not giving you all his salary, press 2. If you want to speak in Turkish, press 4. For English, press 5. If you want to speak to an agent, her dad, press 0. I don't know, people make it so difficult for each other. Alhamdulillah, when you get married, you're old enough, educated enough to take care of your issues. Everyone has issues in their relationship, including your parents. Don't make it more difficult for them. Usually when people come to me for talaq, there are different reasons why people fight. I'll talk to you about the top 2 reasons. Number 1, in the marriage, people always ask for the rights when it comes to their obligations, they don't care. Nowhere to be found, right? And number 2, the priorities are messed up. Priority number 1 for me is to have a good relationship with Allah. Islam is the anchor in the relationship. My family is very important to me. Then money, anything else comes after, right? But for some people, money is number 1. I'm gonna work day and night. I don't have time for my family. Maybe I'm gonna send them text message every 2-3 months. I know people, wallah, I know families. And they come to me, the wife is here. The husband is working somewhere else, 5,000, 7,000 miles away. He comes like once a year. And they have been doing this for the last 10 years because he has to work and make more. He can make money here, but they need more money. And they end up in talaq. Because in some cases, he will get married over there and she's living here by herself. And this is not acceptable. Like, you know, you as a husband, you have desires. Oh, okay, you got married there because you can't protect yourself. What about your husband, your wife? She's human too. She has desires. Like, who's gonna fulfill her desires? I don't care about money. Even if you make 10% of this money here, but you stay with your family, it's worth it. And if your kids grow up without their father around, you would be missing, you cannot afford to leave your kids by themselves here. Especially if you go into adulthood and things, wallahi, this is a big price you're paying. And families are collapsing, and I'm dealing with some issues right now because of this, right? So you have to fulfill your obligations. Money is not everything. Make it easy for each other. Some families, they live beyond their means. They make a certain amount, then they want to, you know, to buy the biggest house, the biggest car, the fanciest this. And in some cases, the husband complains like, I cannot afford this. You know, I'm living in debt day and night. And So we need to accommodate each other. You know, the husband to take care of his wife, the wife to take care of her husband. Your rights and obligations are very easy Islamically. If you are a good Muslim, you have respect for Allah, then the rights and the obligations become easy. You take care of your wife, you respect her, you respect her family, become a man, take care of her and your children, and the wife, take care of your husband, you know, protect him and accommodate him, make sacrifices to make each other happy, and that's all it takes. If the love is there in the relationship and Islam is there, people know their rights and obligations, things become easy. Things become easy. But if the love is not there, and Islam is not part of the relationship, you expect terrible things to happen. And this is one of the reason, one of the reasons why marriages collapse. One more thing that I want to highlight to the brothers, I know most of you will work, and some of the sisters will work, some of them will choose to stay in the house. So let's say if the wife chooses to stay in the house, and the husband goes to work, I know, you work and you provide and everything, but this does not mean that you sit in the house, you're not doing anything, right? Because some brothers, they think, okay, if I pay money in the house, I don't need to do anything. I don't need to help the kids with homework, I don't need to cook, I don't need to do anything in the house. Who is better, you or Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Although he was Rasulullah, receiving revelations, receiving delegations, he was fighting to defend Medina, he was traveling, he was teaching, he was doing everything. But in Bukhari and Muslim in Hadith, كَانَ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِ. He was in the service of the family. He would clean the house, he would cook with them, he would patch his clothes, he would patch his shoes. He was one of the people, he was one of the family. He was taking care of them, he was one of them. He didn't sit on the couch like a master and people were serving him like slaves. No, he was serving his family, he was taking care of them. He was one of them, right? So this is something we need to learn from Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A couple of quick points. When do you feel ready to get married, right? If you are physically, financially, emotionally fit to get married, you should go ahead for it, right? Some kids, like high school kids, they come and they say, oh, I went to talk to my dad, I want to get married, and he ran after me with an axe on 401, right? Like, you're not ready yet. Let's be realistic. You need to provide for the family. You need to assume the responsibilities of a man. And before I forget, we need to make the distinction between a man and a male. And the distinction between a woman and a female. A male is a person who is able to father a child. That's it. And anyone can do this, right? A man is someone who assumes the responsibilities of the man. Someone who takes care of his family, someone who is responsible, someone who is always there and is always part of the family, who cares about his family, providing, supporting, protecting. This is the man. A female is a lady who is able to give birth to a child. That's it. But a woman, Islamically, is, just like we said about the man, who is able to shoulder the responsibility of a family, to take care of a husband, raise the kids, and so on and so forth. Right? So, who decides if you are ready or not? You. And again, you need to talk to your family. If you have the desire to get married, if you find the right person, you should go ahead for it, inshallah. Another question I received, you like someone, they like you, and you propose to them, and the sister says, well, inshallah, no problem, but we can do our nikah once I get my PhD. And she's still in like high school, right? You need to wait another 10 years for them. My nasiha is always, if you get married to the person you like, it's not going to distract your attention from your studies or your work. If with a little bit of organization and understanding. If you get married, let's say you are 19 years old or 20 years old, you are going to college, and your family is supporting you to get married, alhamdulillah. Again, you can live together, you don't have to buy a fancy house, a fancy car, you can start small. You don't have to have kids right away, you can't delay another 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, who cares, right? You don't have to have kids right away. Again, you need to talk to each other and make a little bit of organization. People think they need to wait to have all the degrees in the world, and once they get their PhD, they're going to start thinking about marriage. and the sister is now in her 40s. She hit menopause. She cannot give birth. Like, her life is over. I mean, you are not going to miss anything if you get married at a young age, if you are fit to get married. But again, you can always delay children for a number of years until you are ready, inshallah, to have kids. I got another question. Like, I'm talking to this sister from back home. We talk over the phone. And one thing before I answer, if you are interested in someone and you're talking to them, and don't say something that will be offensive or something that is not appropriate if her father or her brother is sitting around, right? Only tell her the things that you would have someone who is interested in your sister tell your sister. Something decent. In this stage, you're getting to know the person. You're not married to them, right? And so on and so forth. So you have to be decent when you talk to them. So you are talking to this sister, and she said, you know, I love you and all, but give me 1 year to convince my family, right? 1 year goes by, give me another year. Well, the problem is, if you wait too long, we don't know if eventually your family will say yes or no. You're wasting your time. If you come to this point, tell her, give me a deadline. If you're not able to convince your family, if you're shy, then I don't know what to do, right? So you need to be, you know, you need to be understanding, but also firm, because otherwise you would be wasting your time. Another question here. Again, talk to your families. Talk to your families. They know you, and they know what is best for you. Eventually, you are the one who is getting married, not them, right? So you need to make the decision eventually, but also do it in consultation with your family. Don't do it against their will. If you start your relationship with a sister or with a brother at the expense of your mom and dad, then eventually your kids will grow without their grandparents around, their uncles, their aunts are not around. You call them aunts, but it should be aunt. Aunt is the insect, right? So you should get the family involved with their blessing and so on and so forth. Work hard. Talk to the elders. Talk to the imam. Take everyone and go and talk to them and try to convince them. Eventually, if you are willing to fight for the sister or the brother because you love them and you think they are worth the fight, eventually Allah will open the door for you if the person is suitable for you, right? But if the guy is not worth fighting for, please don't fight your family with someone who is not worth your fight, right? Like, this guy, he doesn't work, he's lazy, I mean, he smokes stuff, he doesn't pray. I mean, why would you fight for someone like this, you know? Another question, you should get to know the person before you marry them. Talk to them for as long as you want, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, but please don't take 10 years, right? For me, it doesn't take me a year to decide if this biryani is good or not. It doesn't take a long time to decide if this phone is good or this person is good or not. You know, we as human beings, we kind of know if this person is compatible to me. And believe me, wallahi, even if you are marrying someone like a distant relative, you know them for 25 years. Like, you grew up together, you went to school together, you visit them, they visit you, you know their parents, you know everything about them. Believe me, even after you know them for 25 years, you get married, you move in, you will see surprises every day. Things that you didn't know about their personality, right? So don't take too much time to get to know the person. Just get to know them enough to be able to make a decision, right? But not too much. I think 6 months is good, 1 year is good, but not 5-10 years. Wallahu a'lam. Any more questions? Any more questions? If someone is shy, you can always write down the question and put it in a bottle and throw it in the ocean. Inshallah. Yes?
I guess I have a question. Like, in terms of talking to a person for 6 months or a year, like, what methods do you recommend talking to that person? Is it through text or... Okay. Through sitting with their family or...
Okay. Can you take a picture?
Yeah.